यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Jagatnath Jagatnath Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jai Gauranitai, 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 Jai Gauranitai. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivajak Acharya Shruta Shata Shri Srimati's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivajak Acharya Shruta Shata Shri Srimati's Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind Ki Jai प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्णा गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगतनाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा माई की जय। जमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की जय। श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की जय। जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जय। श्री श्री गौर निताई की जय। राधा निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। All glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya naram chayvam narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaye mudire Nishte prayeshu bhadreshu Nityam bhagavat sevaya Bhagavati ruttam shloke Bhaktir bhavati nashtaki Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 14 एंटाइटल्ड किंग पुरुरावा एनचेंटेड बाय उर्वशी टेक्स्ट नंबर 46 तस्या निर्मन्थनाजतो तस्या निर्माजान्ताजतो जता वेदा विभावशु जाता वेदा विभावसु तर्यासा विद्याराज्ञा त्रयासा विद्याराज्ञा पुत्रत्वे कल्पिता स्त्रीव्रत पुत्रत्वे कल्पिता स्त्रीव्रत तस्या निर्माजान्तञ्जतो जता वेदा विभावसु त्राया सा विद्याराज्ञा पुत्रत्वे कल्पिता स्त्रीव्रत तस्या निर्मान्तञ्जतो जाता वेदा विभावसु त्राया सा विद्याराज्ञा पुत्रत्वे कल्पिता स्त्रीव्रत तस्या निर्मादान जातो जाता वेदा विभावसु त्रया सा विद्याया राज्ञा पुत्रत्वे कल्पिता स्त्रीव्रत तस्या निर्मातांश्चतो जात वेदा विभावसु त्रया सा विद्याय राज्ञा पुत्रत्वे कल्पिता स्त्रीव्रत तस्या निर्माता चाञ्जतो जाता वेदा विभावसु Tarjasa vidya ragya kutratvi kalpita strivri tasya of Pururava nirmanthanat because of interaction jataha was born jata vedaha meant for material enjoyment according to the Vedic principles. Vibhavasu, a fire. Traya, following the Vedic principles. Sah, the fire. Vidyaya, by such a process. Ragya, by the king. Putratve, a son's being born. Kalpita, it so became. Trivrit, the three letters. Om combined together as Om. A-U-M combined together as Om. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. From Prurava's rubbing of the earnest came a fire. By such a fire, one can achieve all success in material enjoyment and be purified in seminal birth, initiation, and in the performance of sacrifice, which are involved with the combined letters A-U-M. Thus, the fire was considered the son of King Pururava. Purport. According to the Vedic process, one can get a son through semen, Shukra. One can get a bona fide disciple through initiation, Savitra. Or one can get a son or disciple through the fire of sacrifice, Yajna. Thus, when Maharaj Pururava generated the fire by rubbing the aranis, the fire became his son. Either by semen, by initiation, or by Yajna, one may get a son. The Vedic mantra, Omkara or Pranava, consisting of the letters A-U-M, can call each of these three methods into existence. Therefore, the words Nirmanthanja, Jataha indicate that by the rubbing of Aranis, a son was born. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhasya Kripa Sindhu Bhaya Evacha Patita Nam Pavne Bhayo Vaishnavi Bhayo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, from Prurava's rubbing of the aranis came fire. By such a fire, one can achieve all success in material enjoyment and be purified in seminal birth, initiation, and in the performance of sacrifice, which are invoked with the combined letters A-U-M, Om. Thus, the fire was considered the son of King Pururava. So, honestly, I really, you know, do not have much to speak on this particular verse because I have not much to say. So, I was just reading the previous verses, translation and purports by Srila Prabhupada. I was trying to hear the classes, but our... you know, the system is still not working. It gives the video, but there is no audio. So somebody has to look at it and see how it can be fixed. So there are two things which we can talk about. One is the significance of sacrifice, and the other is material enjoyment, sex gratification, and the consequences of that. So in Bhagavad Gita and also in other scriptures, it is mentioned that sacrifice should be performed for pleasing Vishnu, pleasing Krishna. And Krishna is the ultimate beneficiary of all the sacrifices. And if we conduct a sacrifice for pleasure of Krishna, that is the supreme sacrifice. So in the previous yugas, devotees and other people aspiring for benefits, they used to perform sacrifice. And mostly it was the fire sacrifice which was being performed. Of course, in Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada mentions it very clearly, and of course, these are on the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, that chanting the holy name of the Lord is the biggest sacrifice. We call it Naam Yajna. So here, King Pururava, he is so much enchanted by Urvashi that he wants to achieve her by any means. He is totally, like we say, sold out to her. So in the previous verse, in verse 45, Srila Prabhupada in the purport says that Pururava wanted to have children continuously by the womb of Urvashi. His only ambition was to have sex life with Urvashi and thereby get a son. In other words, he had so much lust in his heart that even while performing yajna, he thought of Urvashi instead of thinking of the master of yajna, Yagneshwara, Lord Vishnu. So, and this is continuing here in verse number 46 also, that Pururava, his aim was just how to unite with Urvashi. And this chapter is, of course, filled up with all the details. There are a couple of other interesting, topics which have been discussed in this chapter. Is Urvashi himself describing to Pururava that what are the characteristics of a woman, and how a man should be very careful in his dealings with a woman. So, because it's very common, and there are several Shastric evidences that men were seduced by women, and that was the end of their, spiritual life. So we have a couple of examples. Of course, Urvashi herself is quite famous, or I should say infamous, because she is from Gandharva Loka, and her main service was to dance in court of Indra. And she came, and there were several, exalted personalities who used to visit Indra. And one such example which we have in Mahabharata is of Arjun. When before the the battle began, Krishna instructed Arjun to go to Indra and seek his blessings and also get some very celestial warfares or weapons from Indra. So when Arjun went to Indra, Urvashi saw him, and Arjun was very handsome and young with a very nice physique. So she was attracted towards Arjun, and she wanted to unite with Arjun. She wanted to have sex with Arjun. And Arjun, being a devotee, considered every other woman as his mother. So he was very humble, and in that mood he apologized to her and said that, "You are like my mother, and I cannot even think of having sex with you even in my dreams." So Urvashi, it was a kind of insult for Urvashi because she was so beautiful that men would find very difficult to resist a beautiful woman like her. So when Arjun declined the offer, she was very disappointed and upset, and she cursed Arjun that you know, for you will become a transgender, as they say today. So for 1 year. So Arjun had no choice but had to accept the curse. And of course, by mercy of Lord Krishna, that curse also turned out to be a beneficial thing for Arjun during the month of the period when Arjun was in the Pandavas were in exile, and the last year of the exile, the 13th year, they had to live incognito. So they were in the kingdom of King Virat at that time, and all the Pandavas had covered themselves in such a way that they would not be recognized. Otherwise, the condition of the exile was that they had to again undergo 12 years of exile and 1 year of exile incognito. So Arjun then became a music teacher during that period. And because of the curse, nobody was able to recognize. Arjun was so powerful and so strong that it was just not possible for him to hide himself. You know, to come in presence of others and to hide himself, it was just not possible. But because of the curse of Urvashi, he was able to do so. Nobody was able to recognize him. He, together with other Pandavas and Draupadi, they successfully lived for 1 year in kingdom of Virat. There is another incident which is also, read, and I'm sure you must be also quite familiar with, that Indra is a very, very insecure personality for some reason. Because he is always very much worried and concerned about his position. And, you know, there are several, anybody trying to become a good devotee or, you know, doing some yajnas and things like that, Indra will always think that, he is after my position. And immediately he would like to take some action. So we have another incident of Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra was meditating, and when he was meditating so nicely and strongly and deeply, that Indra was concerned, and he sent Menaka, another damsel of Hemant, to distract Vishwamitra. And look at the power of, you know, a woman. She came, and just by hearing the sound of anklets of Menaka, Vishwamitra's samadhi was broken. And when he looked at her, he completely forgot what he was doing. And he had sex with Menaka, and then they had a daughter called Shakuntala. And we read that Vishwamitra didn't want to have anything to do with her. So sometimes we find that people engage in such activities just for sense gratification, for their sexual pleasures. And here also we find that Pururava has no other intentions of being with Urvashi other than having sex with her. And in the previous verse, like Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, that he wanted to have children after children. So in other words, he was only concentrating or focusing on having sexual pleasures with Urvashi, in spite of hearing from Urvashi that it is not really so nice to be so much enchanted or infatuated by a woman. We have other examples also where Actually, some prostitutes, they change the life of devotees or of a person. So we, in Srimad Bhagavatam, I don't remember the name, but there was, maybe one of you will remember, so you can, you know, I'll just narrate the story, that there was this man who used to visit a prostitute, and once it was, you know, he had to cross a river to go to her place. And it was really raining, you know, very heavily, and there was a kind of storm. The river was very turbulent and rough. But he just, you know, risked his life and crossed the river to reach her place. And then he had to climb up a wall to enter the house. And there were snakes there. So he was just holding the snakes to climb on the other side of the wall. And eventually when he reached her, she was, she told him that, you know, if you had, you have so much of, you know, devotion for me, but if you had that kind of a devotion for the Supreme Personality, you would be a different person. And that had a lot of impact on that person, and he eventually became a good devotee. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. So, so they are kind of mixed, you know, stories we have about the role of women in the life of devotees, and how they can influence or distract or destroy their lives. So, coming back to this particular chapter, the Urvashi came. Because Urvashi was cursed by Indra, and that was the reason why she had to come on earth and, you know, be there. So, and that's where she came in contact with King Pururava. Now, Prabhupada explains, and also our Acharyas explain, that the principle of enjoyment is normally forgotten. And people go for the lower types of enjoyments. So, you know, sensual enjoyments are considered in that category. Normally, in material world, in Kali Yuga, people think that having sex is the most pleasure or the biggest pleasure. But they think so because they have not tasted the other pleasure. Like Srila Prabhupada, you know, in the book which is written, The Higher Taste. If we have tasted something more delicious, or we will not really go for things which are less delicious. We will not enjoy them. Even if we have no choice sometimes, we will not really enjoy them. But once you have tasted something really delicious, then you would always like to have that. And Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness is one such thing. He also explains, he gives a very good example, that when Srila Prabhupada came to United States, it was the hippie era here. And, you know, most of the youngsters were doing drugs. They were on LSD. And, you know, sexual gratification was really rampant. And the United States government had a very tough time to change people's habit, because they knew very well that these drugs are destroying the lives of these young people. And they invested a lot of money in different programs to take people away from drugs. But they were not so successful. They were not successful at all. Whereas this old Swamiji comes from India, and he talks to them about something which they had never heard of in their, you know, life, and they immediately gave up everything. Not only they gave up drugs and illicit sex, but even like drinking tea, coffee, etc., they gave up. So Srila Prabhupada said that this is the unique taste of the holy name, which was able to convert them from hippies to happies. So now, why we should be careful in our in such dealings, or why the sex gratification or these attachments are kind of criticized? Because there are enough examples in our scriptures which says that these attachments or these distractions are the cause of one's fall. And not only that, these are the cause of one's miseries. You know, if there were several studies have been done in United States about how people get on hooked on to drugs, etc. And people, when they are depressed, they are distracted, they have been disappointed in their lives, then they want to try different kind of things. And drug is one such thing, that they say that it brings you happiness, it makes you high. And we all know, and it has been proved beyond doubt, that eventually their lives are destroyed. It is not good for health, it is not good for you know, the body as such. And all these intoxications lead to more depression. So it is like what we are reading here about Pururava is a animal-like propensity. Like when we hear that one of the propensities of a living entity is mating. So here he is only focusing, or he is only captivated by the beauty of Urvashi, and only thing on his mind is how to get her, how to be with her, how to unite with her, and nothing else, without realizing that this is going to cause more miseries and more disappointments in future. So on our altar we have a class by Srila Prabhupada where he explains about the life of a devotee, or rather the life of a disciple, where he says who is the disciple. And he explains that a person who lives a disciplined life is a disciple, and who lives a disciplined life is a disciple. So he gives the example of meat eating also. So you see, there are people who will not give up meat. So how to how to regulate it, and how to do it in such a way that they get the minimum reaction or karma from eating meat. So Srila Prabhupada explains that before he was talking in context of Bengal, where people worship goddess Kali. And he says if an animal is killed in a proper way, that is, the person who is killing has to chant a mantra in the ear of the animal, and then the meat, after it is cooked, is offered to goddess Kali, and then it is consumed. And Srila Prabhupada says that goddess Kali is worshipped once a month. So if this procedure is followed, the person will eat meat only once a month, and rest of the month he will not be eating meat. He also explains that when mantra is being chanted in the ear of the animal, and the meaning of that mantra is that I am killing you in your this life, and you will have permission and the authority to kill me in some other life. And if somebody is doing that on a regular basis, then he will know that he is going to get killed so many times by the animals he is killing, and that may be a kind of an eye opener for that person, that well, what am I doing? am I doing something nice or just for my, you know, taste? Or is it going to help me in the longer run, etc.? And then one may change. Prabhupada also gives about the importance of marriage. So he said, men and women, they can unite and have sex whenever they want. But Srila Prabhupada's very, you know, out of the four regulatory principles, one is to not have illicit sex. And so Srila Prabhupada says that marriage means having sex, but in a disciplined way. You cannot have sex with anybody you want, because that is totally an animal propensity. So here, Pururava is captivated by Urvashi and engaging in totally, he has completely given up. And in these two verses, the previous verses, it was also explained that even while performing yajna, he is only thinking of Urvashi, how to get Urvashi. And his aim was, because Urvashi was from Gandharva Loka and she went back there, he wanted to go there. And so his aims in conducting this, performing this yajnas were first to have sex with Urvashi, how to be in Gandharva Loka so that he could always be with Urvashi. And that is that was the aim of Pururava's life. So I think that's what I have to say. Now I invite all of you to say. You have been hearing even you know, for last so many days. So it's not like, please do not ask me difficult questions, because I may not have answers. But I would like you to share what you have been hearing from others, and what you have been, you know, you may have some things to add of your own. So that will be helpful for everybody. Yes. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you for such a nice class. We knew that, there's a, you know, quality of the Pururava. He has such a powerful, wealthy, and intelligence, and beautiful, I mean handsome, so everything he has. But still, he is covered by the Maya. And Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Osha Guna Mahi Mama Maya Durataya. So if we have, you know, we know that we are in Martya Loka, we are in Kali Yuga, especially Kali Yuga, so we will forget everything and we don't have any qualification. But still, if we join with Krishna, I mean, we will serve to Krishna, then he will provide us knowledge to how to, you know, come over from the Maya. This we will we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Haridas Thakur. There was another example we are getting. So I think Prabhupada is also giving so many examples, you know. So we got such a nice chance to come over from Maya. So we will practice, and everybody, if we do together bhakti, then maybe we will be success.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, there's a nice Prabhupada quotes one saying, Dilli ka laddu khaye wo bhi pastaye, nahi khaye wo bhi pastaye. Prabhu is from Delhi.
Yeah.
You might have seen the sweets.
For you, there is a saying, there is a laddu. You all know laddu? It's like, it's sweet and it's like gulab jamun, or solid. Gulab jamun is more soft. But laddu is solid. And so there is a saying that anybody who eats Delhi's laddu from Delhi, so those who have not eaten they are also not happy, and those who have eaten, they are also not happy. So Prabhupada, then somebody asked a question, that what does Prabhupada meant by, what did he mean by saying this? So the idea was like, the person who engages in sex life, he is also not happy, and the person who is not engaging, he is also not happy. Because he is always wanting to, you know, his thoughts are covered with how to get closer to women, how to have, you know, unite with them and so on. And then once he does that, then he realizes that it was not really worth it. So that's what that Delhi ka laddu jo khaye wo bhi pachtaye, jo nahi khaye wo bhi pachtaye. Thank you, Prabhu.
I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about we hear a lot about like relationship with women and the family life is like a dark well, and that like women are so dangerous and things like that. But then we see that most people end up getting married, and so I'm wondering if that's just complete foolishness, or if there's an intelligence, there must be some intelligence as to why to get married and be in this controlled life, and to practice sadhana bhakti with two devotees together, man and woman.
Thank you, Prabhu, for this is a nice and important question. So also we see that some of the marriages are conducted here, right in the temple, correct? So if marriages were really not good, then why we should be conducting them at all, and on top of that conducting right here in the temple room. So Srila Prabhupada, when he talks about Varna Ashram, he emphasizes on the word ashram. So he says ashram has a spiritual connotation to it. So when you are a brahmachari, it is, we say brahmacharya ashram. So there may be people who may be, you know, celibate, who may be living, you know, as bachelors, but they are not living in brahmachari ashram. Because when you are living in brahmachari ashram, you are working towards getting closer to Krishna. Then when we are talking about grihastha ashram, so Srila Prabhupada explains this in great detail, that the responsibility of a man and a woman once they get married increases. And one of the important aspects of marriage is, how do I help my partner to make progress in devotional life? So it is explained that, you know, somebody said here at the time of a marriage, that in marriage, 1 + 1 doesn't make 2. 1 + 1 makes 11. So in other words, the two devotees getting together will work so hard that it will be equivalent to 11 devotees, 11 people. So that is the emphasis which is given to marriage in the life of a devotee. So if one could, and that's what Prabhupada also explains, that marriage means having living in a disciplined way. You may have sex, but having the sex in a disciplined way. Have sex, unite with the woman only for the purpose of procreation, only to have children whom you are going to raise in Krishna conscious way. It is not a license. You know, normally or most of the time it is understood that now I am married, so there is no restriction on me. So then Prabhupada explains also the difference between grihastha and gramedi. I'm sure you must be familiar with it, that grihastha is one who is using the opportunity of a family life to make progress in devotion, in his spiritual life. Also, not only his own life, but he's also helping his partner, his or her partner, and children to grow in a Krishna conscious way. Whereas for a gramedi, the only focus is how to run my household. He is only worried how to get in how to make enough money so that I can run my family. So he is totally away, totally distracted from the main purpose of getting married. So marriage is not all that bad, if I may say so. Okay, thank you. You want to add something, Prabhu? Yes, to this question of Gidhari Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. No, I would like to thank you for your class, and I'm sorry I came late. But you mentioned prostitutes. One thing I appreciate about Prabhupada, because a lot of times when we hear the word prostitute, we think they can't be unalloyed devotees. Mm-hmm. But if you read the Bhagavatam in Canto 1, Chapter 11, verse 19, Prabhupada, in that series, he mentions the story you quoted today, Bilva Mango Thakur and Chintamani. And anyone can look at that purport. He actually says that sometimes people are forced to be into prostitution by circumstances, but that doesn't take away the fact that they become unalloyed devotees of the Lord. And so I kind of appreciate that. My real question is that regarding this pastime, is that when people have, anartas, particularly this one, lust, I've gone through it myself. I think a lot of people gone through it that, I shouldn't come to the temple because I'm too sinful. But one thing I appreciate about what Jesus said in the Bible, he says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mm-hmm. And this reminds me of what Bhaktisiddhanta said. He said, it is better to print books, the medicine, than it is to construct temples, the hospital. So he was essentially saying, like, what is the use of the hospital without the hospitality? Gita Dita Chaye Napi Bhati Bhavena Chetasa Veda Sastra Puna Anani Tena Titane Savashiha. Prabhupada quotes this verse in regards to the illiterate Brahmana pastime. I appreciate that pastime because the smarter Brahmanas, or they were laughing at the illiterate Brahman because he couldn't read the Gita properly. He couldn't read at all. And Lord Chaitanya came to him and essentially said, the bogus Brahmanas, they have control over the hospital, but you have control over the hospitality. Therefore, you're an authority on the Gita. And so my question is that a lot of times when we come to the temple, a lot of devotees' experiences, and I quote Bhakti Tirtha Swami Raghunath Maharaj yesterday, when they first came in the movement among devotees, they didn't feel the hospitalities. And I feel like everyone at some point feels hospitalities from some devotees and non-hospitality from other devotees. Just like I was talking to one devotee yesterday, and it's related to the Haridasa Thakur pastime. He says, sometimes people make you feel like, if they look at you, they'll get contaminated. I'm so disgusting that if I look at you, I'll get contaminated. And we see this in the Haridasa Thakur pastime, that he wasn't invited into the Jagannath Puri temple. They say, you're too disgusting. So my question is that how do we give up this tendency to always to look to even devotees to give us our medicine, our hospitality? Because in reality, we're all prisoners in this material world. We got our own faults. And Prabhupada will always quote that verse from the Bhagavatam, Tate anukampam susamichamana bhujana eva makritam vipakam, etc. That, the devotee tolerates whatever misdeeds are done against him because of his own misdeeds in a previous life. So how does one cope with this mentality? Because a lot of times people don't even want to come to the temple because they may not feel the hospitality. Okay. So maybe you could explain some
thank you,
points
Prabhu,
on that point. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
If I understand your question properly, I think Srila Prabhupada set a very good example for us. We often discuss and read that a devotee looks at everybody as part and parcel of Krishna. This is what we discuss and talk, but we very rarely practice it. Correct? We discriminate so much. So when we look at Srila Prabhupada, he came in contact with all types of people. When he came here, when he was living in New York, especially in the initial
days. He was surrounded by people with whom we would not normally like to be seen. Correct? But Srila Prabhupada gave them so much of love and affection and treated them with respect that they developed love not only for Srila Prabhupada, they were ready to give their life for Srila Prabhupada. So by treating people in a respectful manner, giving them love and affection, we can transform their life. And when we were discussing on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, at that time I mentioned this, that a thought came to my mind couple of months ago, that devotees, when they came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, they were ready to do whatever Srila Prabhupada asked them to do. Whereas it doesn't happen anymore. Let's be honest about it. We receive instructions and we just look the other way. So, in the beginning of our movement, when Srila Prabhupada even mentioned something to a devotee, it became such an important thing to fulfill Prabhupada's desire. And why did it happen? Because Srila Prabhupada gave so much to these young boys and girls, as he used to call them, and he said it so many times. He said, these boys and girls are ready to give up their life for me. There's a incident with Malti Mataji. She and her husband, they were very closely associated in serving Srila Prabhupada. She gives this example that she went to Mayapur in the beginning, initial years, and she was to cook for Srila Prabhupada. And she was explaining that she had to wear a sari. She was not so much used to wearing a sari at that time. And then she had to cook on the floor. There was no standing kitchen. So she was finding it very uncomfortable. So she used to go to the market to buy the vegetables. She will negotiate and buy vegetables. Then she will come and she will cook. And, even the knife was not the usual knife. So there's an Indian style of knife where you have to, hold it on the floor and cut with both hands like that. So she said that she has such difficult time, and she decided tomorrow I'm going to tell Srila Prabhupada that I cannot carry on with this service. So next day, Srila Prabhupada has invited one of his god brothers for prasadam. So she cooked for them, and then she says, now it may be an opportunity to go and let Prabhupada know that I want to quit this service. So when she went, Prabhupada's god brother was sitting with him, and then Srila Prabhupada introduced Malti Mataji to his god brother, and he says, this is my daughter, and she is ready to give up her life for me. She will do whatever I want her to do, and I'm also ready to give my life for her. So that was the kind of relationship Srila Prabhupada forged with his disciples, and that is why they were ready to do whatever he asked for. Now, why in today's situation the hospitality is lacking? Because of expectations. When we look at some person, we already try to judge that person, mentally. We may not be saying so. We say that we shouldn't be judging other people and so on. But mentally, we try to see, and then we say, oh, okay, how he can be of use for me, how can I use him. So our approach right from the beginning is with flaw, and that is why, and this manifests in our behavior. We may try to cover up, but it will manifest in our behavior. So that is where this lot of discrepancy is there in what we say and what we practice. So if we offer respect to people unconditionally, because that person or that jiva is also part and parcel of Krishna, I'm sure they will be happy and we will be also happy. There will not be such situations where one may feel that, oh, why I am not being respected properly, why other people are being respected properly, or, you know, he offered one gulab jamun to me, but to him, he gave two gulab jamuns. So, you know, we won't have that situation as such, if you look at everybody with respect and treat them with respect. I'm also reminded of one question which you asked a few days ago. At that time, our audio was working, so I was able to, audio on the, you know, webcast was working. You asked that about going to heavenly planets and practice spirituality or Krishna consciousness there, something to that effect. He asked. Yeah. So, actually, I asked this question also some years ago, and I got a very nice and convincing answer that these heavenly planets are places to enjoy. So if you look at the life of these demigods, they have been good devotees, there is no doubt about it, but they are now getting the benefit or the reaction to their karmas. It's a positive reaction. They are enjoying it there. And once that the fruits of those their previous good karmas finish, they will have to still come down. So in that environment where mostly the focus is on sense enjoyments, to practice Krishna consciousness is not possible. So, we are at the right place. We are at the right place because even those personalities who are there, they have to come down at some stage or the other. So, the opportunity which we have got, Tariknath Prabhu explained, that opportunity which Srila Prabhupada has given us, the environment which he has created for us, there cannot be a substitute for it. If we follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, actually Prabhupada has made practicing Krishna consciousness very easy and very simple. It cannot be, and that is another reason why I feel that people were so much attracted to Prabhupada's philosophy. He didn't make it so complicated. You know, you go to sometimes, you hear lectures and classes from different preachers, and they make spirituality very, very complicated. Srila Prabhupada gave it in a very simple form and very easy to practice. And if we do that, I think not only Srila Prabhupada will be pleased, even Krishna will be pleased, and whatever Krishna, whatever we deserve will be definitely provided to us by Krishna. Okay. So thank you so much for listening to me so patiently and being such nice audience. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.